Welcome to Beyond Transcripts, the podcast for educators who want to meet and exceed best practices in transcripts and education management. On this episode of Beyond Transcripts, we're joined by Dr. Anise Mabry from Tears Free Academy. We're so excited that she joined us today because she has been blazing trails in education for years. She opens up about how she originally founded Tears Free Academy and what was going on with her family that caused her to realize that the traditional schooling system just wasn't working for her. Because she's been involved in homeschooling for a number of years, she has really great insight into what's going on with homeschool education, where it's going, and is a great resource of support for not only typical K-12 students, but adult learners as well. She really does put a focus on helping those students who maybe didn't get to complete education in that typical time frame come back, wrap up their degree, and move forward in life. She's so inspirational in everything that she does. She's actually written a book, and she shares about how her educational disobedience has brought her to where she is in life. And as one of our biggest cheerleaders for Transcript Maker, we are so excited to have her on today's episode. All right. Welcome, Dr. Mabry. You are the president and chief academic officer of Tears Free Academy. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I have really been looking forward to doing this podcast with you for months now.
Yes, me too. So let's start off with talking about Tears Free Academy because it is such a unique school and approach. And for anyone who isn't familiar, it's not tears like crying, right? Although hopefully there's no tears at the academy as well, but it's tears like levels. So give us a little bit of a history and what drew you to start Tears Free Academy.
Well, my journey into Tears Free, and first let me talk to you about the name, because you are correct. The name is like T-I-E-R-S, because when you have a special needs child in the public education system, they have to go through tiers or levels of intervention before they can get the help that they need. And a lot of times when you're trying to get through all of those levels, children get frustrated and they get lost in the process. Mm. So when I thought about, you know, what ideal learning would look like for a child with special needs, it looked like something where there were no tears. Mm. Hence, it would be tears free. So that's kind of the play on the name from the educator side of me. And the reason I started it, you know, my why was actually my children. My son is on the autism spectrum, and he has selective mutism, which only got worse in the public school system. And then my daughter was bullied so severely in the public school system that I had no choice but to homeschool her. And, you know, I used to always say, oh my gosh, I'm having to homeschool by force. Mm. And I never felt like it was a choice for me. Right. It was the only thing I could do to save my children. Yeah. And, you know, now 8 years into this, my daughter's graduated. She's a senior at Arizona State.
Wow.
She's graduating in December with her degree in accounting, and she's been accepted into the master's program. And so I'm excited, you know, and now I look at it as, you know, yeah, initially I felt it was homeschool by force, mm-hmm. but this was ultimately the best choice that I made.
Right.
And, you know, and as I built this program for my own children, it was kind of like having one of those aha moments, mm-hmm. where you don't realize that there's a problem bigger than yourself until you're in it and you look outside of it.
Right.
And when I looked outside of it, the problem was right next door. You know, my neighbor's daughter and my daughter, they were assigned to the same high school. My neighbor's daughter experienced a lot of the same bullying that my daughter had experienced. But the outcome was different because my neighbor's daughter dropped out of school.
Wow.
And, you know, yeah. And, you know, where I was looking at this beautiful, bright child who was going to have no future.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like I couldn't celebrate my own child without figuring out some way to save my neighbor's child. And so that was another why of the whole way that this tears-free, I guess, program began to develop because I wanted to build something that would not only help the children that were in K-12, but also the children that had dropped out of K-12. So I became very intimately connected with homeschool law.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, we don't love when you feel forced to do something, right? Or that maybe the public school system feels like it's letting you down in a number of different ways. But how amazing that it inspired you and allowed you to create something that worked not only for your family, but for other families as well.
For an entire community. You know, Sarah, the beautiful thing about this program, we're going into our fourth year now, and we have graduated 83 students. Wow. We are on track to graduate 51 more. We've done two honorary diplomas. And the beautiful thing about doing those honorary diplomas for people over the age of 60 mm-hmm. is it changes the entire trajectory for those families, you know, because there's something big about, I call them broken links in the loop. And when, you know, when you have the matriarch of the family that doesn't have a high school diploma, it creates a broken link in that family's loop.
Yeah.
And, you know, by doing the honorary diplomas, I get to close that link. So they have a complete circle.
That's so amazing. I mean, I got chills when you talked about that. You know, a 60-year-old who didn't get to finish school, who is able to say, I now have a diploma. That's amazing.
It's an incredible to watch. It's even more because for our honorary graduates, I get the cap and gown and I gift wrap it.
Aww.
And I present it with the family members. And 90, you know, in all of the cases or in both of these, neither one of these people knew that they were going to become a high school graduate.
Oh.
And, you know, when they open the box and they see that it's a cap and gown and they see that you've been nominated to receive an honorary high school diploma, it changes them. It changes
That's amazing.
Them.
Yeah. If you're not watching our video, I literally have tears in my eyes right now. I mean, I come from a family where higher education is just something we've sort of done. And I've got very educated people in my immediate family and within extended aunts and uncles. And so, but I can put myself in the shoes of someone who did not get to pursue all that. And as you know, maybe a child who has goals to pursue higher education and you have someone in your family who didn't graduate high school, gosh, that's just so meaningful in so many ways. So the fact that you're making that possible is just, that's amazing. But I know you've been, you know, sort of breaking down these barriers and pushing through things that don't really work for you for quite some time. And I love that your school, like you said, it's not just about sort of our typical students, those K through 12, that's mm-hmm. obviously so important. And you know, your students or your kids, excuse me, weren't getting what they needed in the public school system, but you thought beyond that. So can you talk a little bit about sort of your more adult students and how you're helping prepare them for life beyond what high school would be?
Absolutely. You know, Sarah, the thing with my adult learners is when they come to me, they have a term that I called academic trauma. And, you know, academic trauma is just like any other trauma that you experience. So because they were unsuccessful, because they, you know, they struggled, because they were ridiculed, because they were bullied, they have all of these layers upon layers of internalized failure that, you know, I can't do this, I can't do this. So when I work with my adult learners, it's more than just, you know, saying, okay, here are the classes, let's get this done. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I took the unique approach I did in building this program for the adults. I did the same thing that we do in the college levels. You know, like in college, you can go for a semester. You can decide, okay, well, I want to take this semester off. Mm-hmm. Your credits never go away. You just simply pick up and start where you left off. Doing it that way creates students are 200% more likely to finish their diplomas and their degrees when you allow them to pick up where they left off.
Oh, so, yeah. I mean, mentally, I can just completely understand that.
Yeah. You know, rather than saying, okay, well, you know, you dropped out, and so you've got to start all over with this. That doesn't work. Yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine.
Exactly. So, you know, when I started working with the adult learners, I was like, I need something that is number one, going to affirm their journey. Mm-hmm. number two is going to celebrate what they've accomplished. And number three is going to give them a viable path towards completion. And, you know, and so in doing that, I created a grading scale that where a 70 is passing. So a lot of times when I would say, okay, go get your transcript for me, they would say, oh, well, you know, I've got nothing but D's and F's. Well, when you bring those D's and F's over to me and I apply them to the different grading scale, then guess what? You've got C's and D's instead of D's and F's. So they end up with a lot more credits than what they would have normally had. And the other thing that I do is a lot of times the adult learners have gone out and they've been able to work in trade professions like an electrician or a plumber. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is I build backwards. You know, I look at the requirements for that certification and then I find the classes that match up with that and I build that as their curriculum.
Wow.
I mean, it's, you know, amazing. I truly create, I call it customized learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that's amazing. And I love that, you know, just this whole idea of Tears Free Academy. I know it sort of started with your son and your daughter and their experiences and kind of adjusting those typical, you know, tears that they had to get through. But I love that it applies in this case too, that sort of those typical, you know, standards or ways of grading or, you know, typical ways of doing things are kind of thrown to the side so that these students can move on and get what they need.
Exactly. You know, and it, because it's like I tell everyone, you know, when a person doesn't have a high school diploma, it's not just that person that suffers, it's that entire community. Because, you know, big industries are less likely to move into areas where people don't have high school diplomas because mm-hmm. they don't see that they've got a workforce to pick from. Your crime rate goes up because, you know, if you don't have a diploma and you can't get a job, then you are going to survive and you're going to survive by committing crimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and then there's another statistic that says that children of parents who don't, if one parent doesn't have a high school diploma, that child is 50% less likely to graduate. When you go up to a family and both parents don't have a high school diploma, that child's graduation ability drops to only 25%.
I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at generational families without diplomas.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw that a lot in this last graduation. And I, you know, my goal is, I joke, I said, I'm going to do 200 diplomas by 2020. And because I really feel so strongly that that's how we're going to change our community.
I love that. And I love that, you know, having this homeschool option really does give you options and ways of completing classes and degrees that are less than traditional. And I think that's what we're seeing is that the traditional schooling options, not to knock them because obviously they're doing some things well, but it doesn't work for everybody and it doesn't work for every circumstance. So can you share with us a little bit about your thoughts on kind of the current state of homeschool education and where you think things are heading?
Ooh, well, you know, I have been watching this homeschool movement grow from, you know, where I started in 2010 with my own children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. In 2010, there were zero groups for children with special needs in homeschooling. I mean, it was mm-hmm. like trying to retrofit a 1992 Escort with a, you know, a new engine.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was nothing out there for me. And I would find bits and pieces from here and there and, you know, different parent anecdotes. And, you know, fast forward now, there are groups devoted to special needs learners. There's entire homeschool cooperatives that are devoted to special needs learners. Even the majority of the online curriculum providers, they have, you know, specialized classes for those special needs learners. Mm-hmm. And I think that what everyone is, I think number one, there's an awakening happening in education. We're realizing that, you know, we've got a model that we've had for over 100 years. And we've never reinvented the model. We just keep pouring more money into the model.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people say, oh, well, because you homeschool, you're anti-public school. No, I'm not anti anything. I am pro whatever works for your child and your family, mm-hmm. whatever that looks like.
Right.
And, you know, I think the biggest push in homeschooling right now is the awakening of parents to realizing, okay, you know, my child is going to school for 7-8 hours. They're coming home and they're doing 5 or 6 hours a night of homework. You know, so yeah. that is unrealistic. And then when you look at homeschooling, you know, like for example, here in Georgia, excuse me, homeschoolers are only required to work for 4.5 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's a much, and the 4.5 hours can look any way you want it to look. And I think that parents are really getting that flexibility because they truly are tired of fighting with the school systems.
Right. And I'm sure the school systems are tired of fighting with them too, right?
It's, yeah.
it's not fun for anybody. And I think that, you know, you kind of touched on this, is that the school systems are set up in a very specific way and it's hard for them to make changes. And I think, you know, probably there are teachers and even principals who want to better support their students, but their hands are kind of tied. They can't do anything. I mean, they can in some ways, right? There are resources and programs, but you can't make major changes.
It has to be
a certain way.
And, you know, and that was one of the reasons that kind of led me to the book that I wrote over the summer was Educational Disobedience. And, you know, and I laugh about the people always ask me, they're like, why did you title this book Educational Disobedience? And the title actually stemmed from when I was a dean of graduate studies at DeVry University. Mm-hmm. And I had been with DeVry for 9 years, you know, and I was on the fast track, so to speak. And the dean at the time looked at me and he had given me a really poor review. Mm. And I said to him, wow, I cannot believe that I have been employed with DeVry for this amount of time and this is my first bad review. And he said, well, you could do better if you would learn to become more obedient. And, you know, Sarah, it took me.
I mean, who says that to anybody?
Right.
First of all,
I'm like, in 2012, nonetheless, who says? Yeah. You can do better if you become more dogs or obedient.
Right. Yeah. Who says that? And in an educational setting and in the role that you had.
Right.
I mean, does that person still work there? Do they still have a job?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
Just
checking. And I don't either.
Obviously, no. I mean, we know you don't either, but you've done other things. I mean, I would imagine that, you know, you're better off. But
it took me back so far. And, you know, and I looked at him and I said, you know what? I said, thank you for the most organic review that anyone has ever given me. Mm-hmm. And I said, but sometimes you just have to be disobedient in the face of things that are wrong. Mm-hmm. And so that became the running joke between me and all the other deans. Whenever we got ready to do something that we knew we were doing, that we were going to get in trouble for, but we were doing it for the right reasons, we would say, okay, I'm about to become educationally disobedient. And so that was kind of my hashtag.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the letters for Educational Disobedience are ED, which is an advanced degree for someone who is in the education field. So it was all the, you know, it was kind of a play on words for us. And, you know, when I went on tour with this book, everyone would always ask me, they were like, so, you know, tell me about the cover, because the cover of the book is actually a broken bridge with people walking underneath. And I said, you know, the bridge that everybody was on was broken. And so I had to create a bridge in plain sight underneath the other bridge to get my people to safety. Wow. And my people are my children. They're my community. You know, they're the ones that are forgotten.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit more about what do you actually talk about in the book? Because I love the title and I love obviously what you've been doing, that you've been educationally disobedient for a while now. It seems to have worked out well for you. So tell us just a little bit more about what the book is, and we'll include a link so that people can check that out.
Absolutely. Well, the book, it's not a book on how to homeschool. It's a book on this is the only choice that I had to save my children. Mm-hmm. And it turned out okay. And, you know, it's more of a, it's a very quick read. It's only 80 pages. But it's more about, you know, when you are standing there on that bridge that's broken and, you know, you're looking because all you know to do is walk on this broken bridge. And the broken bridge is the educational system that everybody else is using. And, you know, you find yourself, you're scared to take that plunge. And, you know, and I even talk about that. I talk about the fact that, you know, here I am, I've got a PhD in K-12 teaching and learning, and I was scared to homeschool my own children.
Yeah. You
know, so if I'm scared with a PhD, can you imagine what the regular person feels?
The normal people who aren't that Asian. Yeah. I mean, I think it is. It would be terrifying. I feel very thankful that I feel like the public school system is working for my family, because I know families it doesn't work for. And I'm just in awe of the parents who take that on, because it's a lot. Yeah. But I think that, like you said, when you were starting, there weren't the same type of resources and support. I would imagine that sort of the boom of social media and the way that people are using the internet and, you know, blogs and all of these things just make it easier, along with online programs and schools, that people have more options and they have more support. And as a parent, it's not 100% on you to figure out this homeschool journey and to support your kids with all of the learning and education that they need, because there are so many resources and programs like yours.
And, you know, that's one of the things that I always tell my parents. I tell, the first thing I tell them, I said, okay, you know, I'm not going to send you the grades for your kids, because you should know what your children are doing at all time because you're homeschooling. I said, you know, my role is to be your support partner. Mm-hmm. My role is to make sure that we have the best fit curriculum for your child. My role is to provide you with encouragement on this journey. My role is to be your ears. You know, if you feel that something isn't working, then, you know, my role is to be there, and we talk through it and we find solutions for it together. And, you know, and for a lot of parents, that's a huge mind shift.
Yeah.
From, you know, sending your child somewhere and then you get this feedback, okay, well, you know, Johnny's not doing well in class. You know, and it's like, you're not going to get that feedback from me. You're going to have to bring that feedback to me and say, you know, my child is struggling in math. What thing, you know, do we have another math curriculum that we can use? You know, he seems to do better when he's able to count with his fingers. Is there a math curriculum that we can use that allows him to touch things and count? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, yes, there is.
Yeah. So, yeah, and have that support, and then know that there are options and that it's not a one size fits all model. I mean, that's really, that's so encouraging and empowering for families. Even if you don't know what those models are or exactly how to find them, there's support like yours to help put all the pieces together.
And that's truly what it is. And I describe it as, I said, you know, when you start to build a puzzle, you know how you always start with getting your edges first? Yes. And then you work towards the middle. And I tell them, I say, I am the edges of your puzzle. And together we work towards filling in the middle. Mm-hmm. And the ultimate middle is that high school diploma.
I love that. Yeah. And anyone who starts a puzzle from the middle, I'm just like, what are you doing? That's not, right. It's not how we do puzzles. I mean, puzzles. I mean, really, I guess you could, right? There's many ways to do everything, but that's just shocking to me when someone just wants to jump right in. But so thinking of kind of this puzzle model, transcripts are one part of that, right? Because you need to have everything official before you can assign that final diploma. So share with us just a little bit before we finish up about how Transcript Maker helps you and sort of fits into what you're doing.
Well, you know, first I will say this about homeschool families in general. Homeschool moms are some of the most resourceful people I have ever met in my entire life. Sarah, I'm telling you, if I'm ever stranded on an island or if I get kidnapped, don't worry about sending the rescue boats. Don't worry about sending the FBI, the CIA, or anybody else to do hostage negotiations. Send me two homeschool moms and they will have me out of there in no time.
I love it.
You know,
I believe it too, because I know moms in general were pretty resourceful, but if you're doing homeschool, I mean, that takes it to a whole other level.
Homeschool moms are like, you know, I joke, I say, you know, we are MacGyver on steroid. And so when I first started looking at transcripts, because you know, I came into this with a huge advantage because being from the higher education sector, mm-hmm. I knew that the most important thing of an academic journey was the transcript.
Yeah.
Most people think, oh, getting the diploma is the most important thing. No, the diploma is just an outward display. It's like the makeup.
Right.
You know, but if everything underneath the makeup is flawed, then the makeup is not going to be flawless. Mm-hmm. So I knew that the most important thing was making sure that we had a flawless transcript. So, you know, when I first started doing this, I tried the do-it-yourself templates. And those are a nightmare because sometimes the GPA calculator works on those and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you can't really have consistency when you're doing a large number of them.
Yes.
You know, maybe for one child or two children, that's great. But when you're thinking, you know, I've done this for 83 people, you know, I need it something that had a little bit more consistency.
Yes. We have a whole episode on consistency and why it's so important, especially as, you know, if you've got multiple kids, you are running a school. That can't be overlooked. And it
right.
adds more time and more stress to have to deal with those things you're talking about.
Way more time. And it's like I was telling, when I had this conversation at one of the workshops that I did, and the mom said, well, you know, there's this other program and they are, I think they were $99 for the lifetime. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that can work for you. But here are your limitations with that. I was mm-hmm. like, you know, when you get ready to download a transcript and you want the watermark on it, then you have to go to this other site and pay another $25. Mm. I was like, and every single time you get ready to order that transcript, you're going to pay $25 as opposed to, you know, you paying this fee and building it yourself and then you downloading it and you having it
right.
so that you can print it out on whatever paper you want to print it out on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, this other place is dictating to you what type of paper you can print it out on.
Right. And we all know how things can break down when you try to print something, right? Because if exactly. something's off, oh, I did not manually input this correctly. I got to try again. I mean, you don't want to be paying again and again or using this, you know, exact paper that has to be used
yes.
every single time.
Yes. And so I was like, you know, I said Transcript Maker. And the other thing I love about Transcript Maker is you can archive the transcript so that, you know, you're not having to look at everyone's yeah. transcript. Some of the other programs, they would say, oh, well, you know, you can put as many people as you want. You just have to go in and get this, Sarah, delete the other people that you no longer need.
You might okay. need them forever.
Right. It's called a transcript.
That.
So, you know, that was why those didn't really work for us.
Yeah.
And so with Transcript Maker, what I love about it for us as a small organization, it is very, very affordable. You know, coming from looking at some of the others that want it like $5,000 and $6,000 a year, you know, that's great if you're a school district.
Right.
But when you're a small homeschool co-op, you're like, okay, I need something that is not the Lamborghini.
Right.
You know, maybe I just need the little Kia Rio. I just need to be able to go to the grocery store and get back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I just need to be able to print transcripts, give them to students, and email them over to families so that they have them.
Yeah.
And you know, and so that's my biggest takeaway with Transcript Maker and and it's so easy to use. It's so easy. I mean, it's like, yeah. you know, I love that I can group it, you know, so what I do is my families get three different transcripts. They get one transcript when they come in. And I group all of their classes by subject. And then I show them what they need. They get another transcript right before they get ready to graduate. And it shows them where they are. It shows them what their GPA is. And then they get their final transcript. So, and you know, and their final transcript is broken down. I always keep mine by subject area because, you know, I've worked with admissions people. Mm-hmm. And admissions people, they have this thing called, I jokingly say that they are microwave people. They pop it, you know, they open up a transcript and they look at it for the amount of time that you look at something spinning in the microwave.
Uh-huh.
And that's literally, they're like, okay, well, if they don't see it in those first 20, 30 seconds, mm-hmm. they'll say, okay, well, this isn't on the transcript. You don't meet the admission requirements.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I can't tell you how many times as the dean, I got transcripts and then I'm looking at it. I'm like, okay, no, it wasn't in the right place, but it's right here.
Yeah.
You just have to look for it.
Right. Well, there's enough things that are complicated. So we do our best to make it easy. And we love that you've found that it's so helpful for you and that you continue to be such a cheerleader for it. And we so appreciate you taking the time today to share with us about your journey, your book, which we're so excited for. And again, we're going to link to that. Any final thoughts for us before we finish up today?
I think, you know, I think the biggest thing is getting people to understand the importance of the academic record. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, you spend a lot of money on curriculum. Make that same investment on retaining your academic records.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time, Dr. Mabry.
Thank you, Sarah. Have an awesome day.
You too.
Isn't it just amazing everything that Dr. Mabry has done up to this point in her life? While we're certainly not happy that she felt let down by the typical school system, we're so glad that it inspired her to create something that worked not only for her kids, but that she thought beyond that to create a system that would work for many families. So we're thankful that you were here for this episode with us today. If you do have any questions about Transcript Maker, you can always check us out with a 14-day free trial and join our newsletter for more information sent directly to you.